And I'm going to try to keep from speaking too loudly into this. What a lesson today. And I am going to start up right off. Forgive me if this is the wrong thing to say, but this is a lesson that I don't know that I have an absolute handle on personally. And it's not because I haven't studied, and it's not because I don't understand. It's about being cognizant of when it's happening in my life. Okay, I'm just going to be real just for that moment. But I'm growing and I'm learning, and I want you to feel that this is an area that if you don't have an absolute handle on it, if you don't know that you totally know when this is happening in your life, and you say, what are you talking about? Well, just a minute, we'll talk about it. But if you don't know that this can absolutely happen in your life, that God can help you with it, and you can learn, and others, as we will learn in the lesson today, others will speak into your life and help you with this growth in all of our lives. Our lesson today is help to understand God's call. And you say, oh, well, we're just talking to people that are supposed to be doing what I'm doing and standing behind this and having a card in your wallet. No, 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 no. That's not true either. That is so far from the truth, because in today's lesson, I want to talk about all of us. From the very back seat to the very front. And all in between, all of us need to understand God's call in our life. We all have one. We all have one. Our focus verse today is found in 1 Samuel chapter 10, reading from verses 6 and 7. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. This is Samuel talking to Saul. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs are come unto thee that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Amen. Our statement about God is that God will speak into our lives and provide confirmation. And the truth for my life, I will counsel with godly leaders to help me understand God's call. Lord Jesus, help us as we look at your word today. Help us to know that you have a call on our lives. Every single one of us have a call on our lives for some purpose for you. And Lord, help us to learn about that. If we don't know, Lord, help us to seek you for that call in our lives of what you have asked us to do for you. And help us to seek and help one another and minister to one another in this area of our lives. And we give you glory and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As a child, what did you dream about doing as an adult? Maybe it was just being an adult. Until you get there, and then you say, oh, no, 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 I don't want to be an adult. Yeah, no, I remember, I'll start. I remember that when I was, probably fourth, fifth, sixth grade, that I really, really thought I wanted to be a veterinary. Probably a very, very good thing that I didn't pursue that. I can tell you there are some animals that really scare me. And if you're a vet, no, I don't think you get to be scared. Any other dreams? Brother Norm.
I couldn't wait to make my own rules.
Make your own rules. Yeah, and it doesn't, Brother Norm, it doesn't really ever happen. Oh, anybody else want to share a dream? Sister Phoebe.
I wanted to be a nurse.
A nurse? I can see that. I can. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sister Glover first, and then Missy.
I always wanted to be married and be a mom.
Be married and be a mom. Now, she might be the only one sitting here that has achieved that. Her dream. God bless you. Sister Missy.
I always wanted to be a police officer.
A police officer. Okay. So we have so many dreams that we have dreamed in our lives that we have wanted to accomplish. And with the exception maybe in this crowd of Sister Glover, I'm not sure any of us have accomplished. Sister Phoebe, you have been a nurse. You might not have that letters behind your name. But yes, I know you have nursed.
Well, she was an LPN.
You were an LPN. I didn't actually, that's something I didn't know. Sister Phoebe, that's awesome. So we can have the dreams that happen in our lives, but not very often do our childhood dreams come true. Because life happens and changes happen, and maybe has to do with money. Maybe it has to do with time. Maybe it has to do with, that's not realistic anymore. But God has given each and every one of us a call in our lives that is realistic. We might not think it's realistic. I can't ever imagine doing what, Lord? Really? I can't do that. I don't know how I would do that. But he says that we can do all things. How? Through him. Because he gives us the strength that we need to do what he asks us to do. What he says, come on. Come on, you can do this. How many times in our lives have others encouraged us like that? Come on, you can do it. I'm thinking of the little ones that I taught how to, or helped, I didn't teach them. I helped them learn how to ride a bike because they had to do it themselves. You know, there's nothing you can do except for you can do it. You can hold that seat for only so long because their pedals start going faster than you can go. And then you let go and you say, stand there and say, you can do it, come on, you can do it. And God does that in our lives. If we will connect with him and learn to know how he's communicating with us. He wants to speak to us. This book is full of God speaking to his people. From beginning to the end. God speaks to his people. We are worthy of the calling that God gives us. And again, I am not talking about a card in your wallet and doing something behind a pulpit. Whatever your calling, you are worthy of it. Not because we are worthy, but because we're His. We're His, and we need to, and then this verse actually, there's an excerpt of it here that I have in Ephesians 4 and 1, that He is commanding us, the church, to walk worthy. Walk worthy. What does that mean? That means that when we are just walking, we are going about our business, that we keep in mind that we are worthy of what God has asked us to do, what He has directed us to do. We are worthy of that. Because we often have these thoughts. And maybe it's just me. It could very well just be me that have these thoughts that I don't know. And that question, probably just me. Samuel. Now, our key verse was talking about Samuel as an adult when he took that vial of oil and he called Saul to himself, following the direction of the Lord, and poured that oil all over him. That was Samuel as an adult, following the direction that God gave him. But in 1 Samuel, starting with chapter 1, we find out that he was an absolute miracle in his mother's life. She was so distressed and troubled because the other wife made sure she felt really bad about the fact that she was not blessed with children. And one year, when they had gone to worship and sacrifice, she fell on her face in absolute distress and poured her heart out to God and made a commitment that if you will give me a son, I will give him to you. And that was Samuel's life. God did hear. He did bless. And at 5 years old, she did what she promised. And she took Samuel to the house of God and gave him to the priest and said, he's yours. Teach him how to serve God. To the man that had accused her of being drunk. He's yours. God, he's yours. And what an example of a man of God. Now, I know you can find many other examples of wonderful men of God in Scripture. But at a very young age, now I didn't see where it actually said in chapter 3 that we knew Samuel's age, but he was a young boy. Older than 5, I'm sure. Because he had learned the voice of Eli, the priest. And he served him and helped him with all of his tasks because, well, Eli was doing what Hannah said she wanted. And yes, I'm going to teach him the ways of the Lord. But there was something that Eli really, really needed to teach him. And that was to hear the voice of God in his life. And so in the third chapter of 1 Samuel, you can read about the call. God says, Samuel, Samuel. And he jumps up and he runs to Eli. What do you need? And he does that two more times. And on that last time, Eli finally got it. I'm not talking to you. But this time, when you hear that voice again, here I am, Lord. Speak to me. And what a message. I believe Eli went to bed saying, uh-oh. I wonder. Wonder what I'm going to hear tomorrow because God is talking. He's not talking to me. He's talking to him, Sister Belinda. And he did. And Eli said, what did he say? I can just picture in my mind Samuel shaking in his boots, maybe sandals. This is the man of God. I don't want to say this. I don't want to tell him what God told me. Sometimes when God tells us to say something, we might not want to say it. But if it's God's voice in our lives, we need to do what he's asking us to do. We need to say, do, act what God wants in our lives. Walk worthy of our calling. And so Samuel grew to know and understand how God spoke to him. And he followed the direction of the Lord even to another time in his life when he really didn't want to do it. The people said, we want a king. And Samuel went to God and said, what? What am I supposed to do with this? Well, Samuel, it's not about you. It's about me. It's about me. They want a king not because you're not a good prophet, that you're not a good judge, that you haven't done what you're supposed to do. They want a king because they reject me. And in chapter 10, I believe it's the first verse. It says, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? Samuel learned to listen to God. And he did the tasks that God laid out for him all his life. I don't know that you can find any one incident in Samuel's personal life where he failed. I don't see it written. The only thing that you might could point to is that his children, his sons, didn't follow him. But I know from experience that you can do everything right, or most everything right. I'll be honest. You can do everything you know to do, and then your children have a choice. And Samuel's children chose not to live for God, to not follow the example that their father had given them. And now Saul, as our key verses pointed out, that Saul was a changed man. Right after that anointing, he walks down through the village and he comes upon a group of prophets. And he starts prophesying. That wasn't him. So much so that everybody that knew him looked and said, "What's this? Is Saul among the prophets?" Several times, at least two that I can think of right now, that Saul joined the prophets and prophesied. Sometimes for days. And in the beginning of his reign, not to get really into it, but because my goodness, you could go lots of places with Saul's reign as king. 40 years. But in the beginning, he was called and he learned how to listen to the voice of God. And he prophesied. And then Saul got in the way of the new Saul. That man that had been anointed to be king decided he knew what was best. And he didn't follow God anymore. I don't know that we know all of the reasons for that. But God has a call on all of us. And I want to share again, well, actually not again. Yes, this is where I'm going to go next. I want to share again that we can approach this call that God has in our life with reluctance. And if you read about right after the anointing of Saul by Samuel, he'd prophesied and he had come to the time of his coronation. It's time for him to stand in front of everybody and be declared the king of all Israel. And Samuel's there, and I don't know, maybe the elders of the tribes, and everybody is there and arranged. And Samuel's looking around and looking looking at his watch, right? No. But he starts wondering. This is for Saul. Where is he? So the servants start looking around. And you know where they find him? The King James uses the word in the stuff. That's in the baggage. That's in what's been packed away. Or what everybody set aside when they gathered for this great coronation, this great event in Saul's life. And he's hiding. Don't hide from what God wants you to do. Don't be reluctant. It is important to be humble. But God does not want us to resist or be reluctant in what he's asking us to do. He wants us to move forward. Take the steps that he's leading us in so we can go there and do and be who God wants us to be. Sister Donna, I don't feel like I can do this. Pastor Glover, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. This call that God has on my life. I can't go there. I can't do that. Well, it's not us. Don't feel inadequate. That quote that we have, God won't call us to do something he won't equip us to do. He's not going to ask us to do something that he won't give us the ability to. And in reality, if we start out feeling a little bit inadequate, I said start out feeling a little bit inadequate, then we absolutely know that when God moves in our life and that begins to happen, we know it's not us. I can't do this. But God can. And because he's asking you to, you can. Because he intends for you to do this. As I was studying this and praying about this lesson, the Lord started talking to me. Now, I know I started with the fact that I don't feel very adequate about this. But I'm not always cognizant of God working in my life. But these thoughts came to my mind. And I'm going to stop right here, okay, just for a moment. How did God speak to people in Scripture? Well, he answered their prayers. Elijah on Mount Carmel. Little bitty prayer. Everybody else had prayed all day. Little bitty prayer. And God rained down fire. He answers our prayers. Elijah again. Ahab, Jezebel. He gets scared. That happens in our lives too. And Elijah ran away. And then what did God do? He had the birds come and feed him. Created shade that he wouldn't get heat stroke. There was water there. And when the water dried up, he sent him somewhere else. So he provides for us and speaks into our lives. At the end of all of this, and I don't mean to just use Elijah, but he's a good example. There's several different ways that God spoke to him. And at the end of his running, he ends up on a mountain that is in the greatest earthquake. And he's got to be scared to death. And not only is there a huge earthquake shaking the mountain, and God's not in that, except he's probably causing it. But he's not speaking in it. And then there's a fire. And there's fire everywhere. Well, Elijah is not Moses, and God is not speaking in the fire. And then finally, that really still small voice. Now, was it audible? We don't know. But he spoke to him. And so this is what God talked to me about. He talked to me about steps or different calls. But I am going to say that they are phases of call, and God can take us through them, and I absolutely believe they have to be done in order. And not everybody in goes to the end. And so God talked to me about the call to salvation. That's all of us. Every single one of us are called to salvation. We are called to have relationship with Him. We are called to have our sins washed away. And we are called to receive the Holy Ghost. Don't forget, it's Pentecost Sunday. Today is the day that we remember what God did for His people, what all so many of the Old Testament prophets, they longed to have the Holy Ghost. They longed for the Spirit of God to come. They wrote about the Spirit of God coming in their lives. But on the day of Pentecost. So we are all called. And after the day of Pentecost happened, down toward the end of the chapter, chapter 2, verse 47 in the book of Acts, and it says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." He wants us to be saved, all of us. He wants all of us to be saved. And we are also called to be separate. After we experience our salvation, God starts drawing us away from the place that we were when we were saved, or the place that we are when we find salvation with Him. And He starts drawing us away to be separate. To be different. And in that difference, we are an example. How are people going to know that there is something awesome about this salvation if they don't see a difference? Oh, yeah. I'm saved. Really? I don't see it, Sister Belinda. How many times does that could happen in our lives? But God wants us to come out. And in 1 Peter 2 and 9, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. That means you're different. You're special. Yes. And not special, special with quotations around it either. No, we are a special people. We are a peculiar people. Why? That ye should show forth. People have to see it. Show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. He called us from where we were into this marvelous light. And that means we have to come out of it. We have to be called to be separate. And then I believe every one of us. So look, that's already two calls, and now we have a third. That I think every one of us has that calling. And that is a calling to minister. And I looked that word up in the Greek. And it says that it means to be an attendant. That is to wait upon. There are so many scriptures that talk about this, but I chose this verse. It's 1 Peter 4 and 10, as every man hath received the gift. And then I inserted here, by the definition in the Greek of gift, spiritual endowment, religious qualification, or miraculous faculty. So that's what this gift is. God gave us the ability to do this. So, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same, the gift that we have, minister that same gift to one another, or one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, when we receive this gift from God about ministering, that he wants us to reach out to those around us and do the same for them. Apply what he has given us to the body around us. And minister. And that's all of us. Another scripture says, bear you one another's burdens. Mourn with those that mourn, and rejoice with those that rejoice. So many things we are to help one another with. That doesn't leave any of us out. And then, call to ministry. Ministry here is as a servant. Ministering office. Now that is a ministry that God within the body sets apart. In 2 Timothy 4 and 5, Paul is talking to Timothy, his son in the Lord, who was a fellow minister that he had trained up. Says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and then last of all, make full proof of thy ministry. Timothy, the body has pulled you apart and set you in a ministry. that you are to walk in. And this is an office to you. And he became a pastor. And I believe it was the church of Ephesus. But he traveled with Paul to many places. And he took care of him and he learned how to minister. And he learned how to work in ministry. And so you could say, Sister Donna, I still don't know. Well, you know what? The first three are for everybody. Everyone is called to salvation. And everyone who is active or has participated in that salvation plan, what is that? That's repenting. That's saying, God, I just can't do this anymore. Not so much, I'm sorry I did it. Yes, that's part of it. But God, I just can't do this anymore. I can't live like this anymore. That's repentance. And I've said many times, it never ends in our lives. Every day, God points out things in my life that you shouldn't be doing that. And I get to make a choice. Lord, I'm so sorry. I don't want to do that anymore. And then I choose. Well, first I recognize by looking at the Word of God that I needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And I go to the man of God, and I say, can I be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? And then our sins are washed away. And you say, I did that a long time ago. Yes, but do you remember? Do you remember what that felt like? And afterwards, every time we repent, Jesus reapplies that baptism in our lives and covers up what we just repented for. And then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it says that ye shall receive. Shall. That's positive. That's not, oh, if you're good enough. Oh, if you do this. If you feel worthy. If you've done this and this and this and this, no, really the only two things that you have to do? Well, actually one. Absolutely you have to do. Got to repent. You will never get the Holy Ghost without repenting. You could get the Holy Ghost before you're baptized in Jesus' name. Yes. You could get the Holy Ghost before that. I know people that have. But God knows the heart of that person. And he knows that that person is all but ready to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then ye shall. Just reach right out there and get it. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then he will help us in the call to be separate. And he will help us in the call to minister to one another. And he may, at some point in time, set you aside in a special ministry in the body of Christ. So don't be afraid. Saul was afraid. God called Samuel three times before he could recognize. How could he recognize? Because the man of God helped him to know what to do and what to say when it happened again. And that is true in all of our lives. Every one of us can do that and learn to hear from God, to understand the call of God in our lives. He wants us to know. Lord bless you. I am so looking forward to worship today. God has a special blessing for everyone, and anyone that doesn't have the Holy Ghost, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive it. And the only absolute is repentance. And that doesn't have to be a long process. So let's get together and worship. Praise God.